Then I noticed, how shall I put it, some leakage, and I feared the worst. So I went to a clinic and was examined by a Chinese doctor.
I'm a first-time caller.
How are you, Jason?
Doing good, very, doing good.
Very confident for a first-time caller.
Well, thanks, I guess. I'm a little nervous, but
you're on
the confidence is there.
You're on with Patton Oswalt and Jason Wallner.
Fantastic. I've got a question for Patton, but really quick, Tom, I just wanted to see, I know there's the age-old debate of who's the biggest idiot in Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young.
Yes. Well, who's the dumbest?
The dumbest member. I don't know if you've seen the latest issue of Rolling Stone, but David Crosby put in a personal ad trying to sell his boat in it.
Hi, I'm Jonah Ray. Check your scruples at the door, because this is Drink for Free on the Freeloader's Guide to Easy Living.
Here's something you may not know about. For a drink in over 4 years.
Hi, I'm Jonah Redd.
Here's something you may not know about me. I haven't paid for a drink in over 4 years.
You will never hear anything on the show that would in any way offend anybody in your family, ever.
Let the cream rise to the top. Oh, yeah.
Hear that?
Yes, Chef.
There's not a soggy patch on there. Hear that?
Yes, Chef.
There's not a soggy patch on there.
No, your podcast is not my podcast. Your podcast is your podcast. My podcast is my podcast.
Our tiki tikas have stalled us. The punch bowl has been spiked on today. One of you jive Tom Turkers put some ecstasy in it. And now our beloved social studies teacher is out on the dance floor in a man diaper doing a cha-cha slide. Also, if you get shot with an arrow on this holiday, that is not Cupid. There's a hobo with a crossbow out in the parking lot. Thinking teachers are students.
Everybody, it's the best show. My name's Tom. I'm the host of the show, which is called the best show, and I've been the host of it for approximately 7,000 years. And apparently I did something wrong in a previous life, and I'm now fulfilling some sort of karmic comeuppance. No, I did something good in a previous life. Maybe I was a hero and I saved the day. And now I'm being rewarded by getting to host the greatest show in the land, the best show. And I says to you, the best show's here each and every Tuesday night. I'm in Los Angeles right now. We make it happen. We make magic happen on the best show. That's right. I said magic. And it is magic. And I tell you right now, let the show begin. I sounded like Garth Brooks there for a second. Remember when he said that thing? It's just like, I'm here to do all sorts of stuff. I want to play cool stuff. When he joined Facebook, he's like, I'm going to do cool stuff, slick stuff. But mostly, I'm going to do raw stuff. And I like to look at this as a conversation. And if this is a conversation, then I say, let the conversation begin. And then he, 5 seconds later, looked at the comments, saw people calling him names, and then probably was just like, I have $900 million. Why am I getting called slurs on this thing? Why am I seeing this? I'm out. Let the conversation end. Oh, you know, it's a clip I haven't played in a long time.
Drink much milk.
There it is. Drink as much milk as your little belly can handle. Remember that one? Those are the good old days.
Drink as much milk.
Can't hear it. You know what I'm going to say to you? Let's start the show. I ain't even going to, I'll play the theme, but I ain't playing no music. We'll play music. We'll start doing that next week. But I say, here's the theme to the best show. It's time. Let's have a grand old time tonight. Tonight we're doing Shark Tank. What? Wait, why is it still playing? Hold on. Wait, what? Why is Falco still playing? There it is. I gotta fire somebody. These production values are in free fall! Jersey, back again. I turn up your speakers, the show's about to begin. The show's the best show. And you know that it's the best show. And it'll always be the best show. Show number one, the best show. Second to none. The music you may have, the stuff that you need. You wanted the best, you got the best show indeed. Because it's the best show. Yeah, you know that it's the best show. And it'll always be the best show. Show number one, the best show. Second to none. Still got no friends and your last to drink. You're sitting home alone. So grab a hold of cops, money, and fly with them to the party's out. Again, doing it to it, right? Party style. Welcome back to the best show. My name's Tom again, as I said, the host. And we got a great show for you tonight. You know the show Shark Tank? Well, we're about to do Shark Tank, which is Tom Sharpling's Shark Tank. Except the only catch is I never saw Shark Tank. And I assume it's like people say, like, I got an idea for a salad spinner. And then Mark Cuban goes, I'll give a $300,000 toward that idea. Is that about what it's like, Devin? Do you know the show?
I've never seen Shark Tank.
No, because we don't watch that junk.
No.
That's not who we are.
No.
We watch the good stuff.
That's right.
Like The Circle. Man, I love The Circle. What's that?
Michelle Buteau is the host.
Michelle Buteau, host of The Circle. That's right. I love The Circle so much. Did you watch The Circle, Pat?
No, but I've seen some really good clips online. I want to watch The Circle. What is it on?
Netflix.
Okay, then I'm going to watch
it. It's good. It's got Michelle Buteau, who I think is extremely funny and I've always been a fan of. I was excited to see her on as the announcer of that. And then you got... this cast of characters and, when you meet these people, when you meet Joey, wait till you meet Joey, Pat.
Can't wait.
He is like a 2020, he is like Meathead 2.0, like Jersey Shore 2.0, like he's evolved. He's evolved the thing. It's almost like a super,
is he greater than or less than Joey from Friends?
Oh, he is Joey from Friends.
Wow.
Greater or less than? He's the walking, talking, embodiment of him.
Gotcha.
And you know what I say? When he would say, how you doing? I would say, we're doing great. Thanks to The Circle. So now I want to say, Pat, who's there with you? Is Mike in the studio?
Right across from me.
How you doing, Tom?
I'm good. I'll listen to your contentment. So proud.
Me and Pat were just saying how we're both dragging tonight from last
night.
Yeah,
because you cleaned up.
Yeah, it's good.
I hear nothing but raves back because the Grown Ups 3, the script, look, this is how this goes. I wrote this script called Grown Ups 3. I wrote this script in a fever, right? Hotter than a pepper sprout. Tommy sat down and wrote Grown Ups 3. Then he put that script right out. I'm talking all about Grown Ups 3. Check it out online. And I'm talking about Grown Ups 3 script.com. You can read it anytime. You know that song, Mike?
Yeah.
That I'm doing a send-up of, a Weird Al style parody. That's Jackson.
Yeah.
By the late, great Jonathan Cash.
And June Carter.
And June Carter. The late, great June Carter. She was, Jonathan was her full name. It was Jonathan Cash and Jonathan Carter. And they did this, like, because I wrote this thing, Grown Ups 3, the sequel that no one asked for. Suddenly, lo and behold, I just went and wrote that thing in a fever, put it out. 8 months later, everybody flipping for it. It's the best thing I ever wrote. Best thing I ever will write. Best thing maybe anyone will ever write. I'm telling you, it's up there. I might put this one up. You know what the best script ever is? The Bible. It's even better than Grown Ups 3. Uh-huh. Even better. No, that's
That wasn't one person, though.
What's that now?
That was a whole bunch of people wrote the Bible.
No, one guy wrote it, didn't he?
No, it's a committee.
I thought a guy.
He wrote that.
For some reason, and I'm pretty sure I'm right on this. It was a guy named Keith.
Okay, yeah, that's a theory. That's one of the theories.
Wrote the Bible, Keith. No, I don't know about that stuff. I don't do politics or religion. Those are hot button topics. Yeah. I come here to talk about candy bars and pizza pies. No, I'll talk about stuff. I'll talk about stuff. I don't care. What, I'm running from the world? No, I'm not. Oh, I just spilled water. I just literally went to take a sip of water and missed my mouth. That there was no excuse on that one. I lifted a glass. Maybe I'm hesitant because I just know I'm an earwolf, and I just all I can picture is some podcaster putting their mouth on the glass. It's like I'm.
Like where did the water go, huh?
Over my shirt and pants.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway. I'm here at Earwolf, first of all. Let me just say thank you to Earwolf for their generosity with the studio. And thank you most of all to Devin, my friend Devin. Friend Devin, not engineer Devin.
Not engineer Devin, no.
My friend happens to have engineering skills.
Exactly.
That's how it is.
Exactly.
And, Mike, you'd like Devin.
Yeah.
He's high-minded. He likes the good stuff.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. What's the filmmaker? Herman Cain?
Herman Cain?
What's the guy? You like those movies. Is that his name? Herman Cain?
Wasn't that a...
Fassbinder.
Yeah.
Yes, Herman Fassbinder.
Herman Fassbinder, yes.
Herman Fassbinder, mm-hmm. Yes, the great. The late great. I'm assuming he's dead. He's dead to me. So anyway, I'm here. Devin's holding it down. We got Pat and Mike holding it down on the other side. Jason is under the weather. We wish him, well. And, but last night, I wrote this Grown Ups 3 thing. Best thing I ever wrote. You can check it out over at grownups3script.com. Then, all of a sudden, you got Pat and, Brent Davis are like, can we do a live performance of it? And we'll do it for charity. I'm like, yeah, for charity. Let's do it. And they hold this reading in New York City last night, the Bell House. They packed this place out. This bleeping place was packed out. I saw these pictures. You couldn't even fit a slice of pizza in that room.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Right?
We tried, yeah.
We tried, and it bounced back out onto the street.
Easily 400 people there, maybe.
Easily, yeah. Oh, no. Mike?
Yeah?
How was it?
It was great. I had a bit of a trouble getting there.
Okay.
You know, I'm not I don't drive in the city too often, mm-hmm. but I gave it a shot.
Yeah.
I got all turned around. I got lost. I lost my bearings.
Well, I don't know how you could get lost trying to find the Bell House. It's Mike, it's located right smack dab in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the problem.
You should have just asked someone for directions. Like, hey, well, you know where's the depots where they put the new ads on the side of buses? Where are those? Because there's a huge club a half block away from the scariest buildings you've ever seen in your life. There's the greatest club because I love the Bell House.
Oh, I love it too. Basically because you're almost guaranteed parking because it's in the middle of nowhere. But yeah.
I've always parked directly in front of the club.
Yeah. Yeah.
I pull up in front of that thing. I feel like I'm on I feel like I'm Kojak, like a cop show, the way they just pull up in front of the spot. You never see a cop on a cop show like a detective, like circling the block a third time, like putting their hazards on, thinking someone's pulling out, like, I think this guy's pulling out. And then they realize the person's just putting a couple things in their trunk or getting something out of their trunk and going back inside.
Yeah, toying with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, the Bell House is a great venue. Packed out, the pictures I saw.
Yeah.
So then you did a reading of Grown Ups 3, and it was, this is who I'm hearing the breakout stars were. Best show, friend of best show, Claire O'Kane.
Yes.
Our own Mr. Pat Byrne.
Yes.
And who did you play, Pat?
I played a few of the smaller roles, giving the Brett and I decided to give a lot of the people that we asked on to, you know, kind of give them the bigger roles, and we would kind of host and do some of the smaller stuff. So mm-hmm. I did Random Townie, which is one of my favorite lines in the script. Calling out to Rob Schneider.
Okay.
And I did the once we're in the actual Grown Ups movie and at the top of the script, I'm the priest.
Okay.
And also towards the end, counter to Mike's Shaq. That's the big reveal. Mike played Shaq. I was Steve Buscemi. So we had a little
that's
bit
a good,
of that.
Those are good parts. Mike.
Yeah.
How was the Shaq? How'd you enjoy portraying Shaq?
Yeah, it went well. I watched an Icy Hot commercial a couple times in preparation. So I was just going for the tone. So I just went a little deeper.
Uh-huh. That's great. That's great. You went for the part.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
But I was sitting next to Kevin Corrigan.
Mm-hmm.
And man, he was showing his chops last night.
Because he portrayed Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
And yes. He was doing it.
Oh yeah, it was great.
He channeled a lot of stuff. Yeah,
oh, that's great.
There was times where it was Kevin Corrigan reading for a version of Adam Sandler, and there was times where it was just Adam Sandler.
I asked him afterward.
It was a roller coaster.
Were you trying to do an impression? He wasn't really trying to do an impression.
No, he wasn't.
But he did. But there were a couple times where it's like, wow, okay,
yeah.
he got it, he nailed it.
Because he hit the tone so well.
Yeah.
But also, Z-Way was Chris Rock, which was hilarious.
Okay, that's great.
Connor Radcliffe played a bunch of small parts as well, but it was so funny. Julie Klausner, Holy smokes. She read stage direction, and I think that's one of the parts that got the most laugh, because it's just setting that tone, and she, you know, she gave it the right kind of pauses, and with just such grace and humor, it was so funny.
I heard it was a home run, and it was all for charity.
Yes.
And the charity was what now?
Where we raised – oh, actually, before I say that, who's not here tonight, Jason Gore,
mm-hmm.
Knocked the Kevin James role out of the Bell House, out of the borough of Brooklyn. It was so funny.
I love it.
He was chewing up the scenery.
Yeah, people were losing their mind for that.
And you could tell he was loving all the F-bombs.
Yeah. Oh, and Chris Gethard, too.
Yeah, Chris, yeah.
Chris Gethard as David Spade, Mary Houlihan, Sally Burtnick, of course, Brett. Brett was Rob Schneider.
And yes. Brent is a good actor.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. He's got chops.
This whole thing was Brett's idea. He came to me.
But who's Brett?
Oh, sorry, Brent. Excuse me. Brent
yes.
Daniels.
Okay.
He sends me a message like less than 3 weeks ago. It was like 2.5 weeks mm-hmm. ago, two and change. He messaged me one night, and he's just like, are you guys organizing anything? I was like, well, no, we're not organizing anything. It's a good idea. Maybe we will. And then he was kind of just like, well, is it all right if I do? And I was like, yeah.
I mean, this script only got dropped on the 6th.
Right. And there was a couple of people who went for it right away, and kudos to them. I think it was Texas and Chicago, a couple other places.
I think there's a Texas reading of it tonight.
Oh,
I think there's with Sabrina from A Giant Dog playing Adam Sandler.
Okay, if someone can record that, we'd love to hear it.
Yes,
last night was recorded too.
Oh, nice.
We'll get into that, but Brett came to us with this, you know, then he just started planning it, and he just kept me in the thread of it mm-hmm. all, and he just said, you know, do you want to help? I said, yeah, whatever I can do. And then we reached out to you, and then this thing kind of just snowballed. We had the help of the Bell. Like, within an hour, Brett was like, I got a date at the Bell House.
Mm-hmm.
And then he reached out to Sam from Naked Comedy Bookings, yes. And she's
great.
Yeah, Sam Varela in L.A., so we're you know, within less than 24 hours, we had an L.A. date, we had a Brooklyn date, we're doing L.A. a week from today, a week from mm-hmm. tonight, at the yeah. Bootleg Theater,
yeah,
and it's all going to the same charity.
Which charity is that?
This is
the AP Mike Fund? What?
This is for the NSW Australian Wildfire Relief.
Okay, now which side of the fires is this charity on?
This is on the side of putting them out.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, I just want to make sure we're – First of all, I wanted to make sure this wasn't some charity like Headshots for Children. And then absolutely. I know what it is. If I heard it was like, yeah, the charity is called Headshots for Children, I'd be like, oh, no. This guy got his talons on it again. AP Mike finds another way to make another bag of money.
I've been trying to worm my way into those Shiners hospitals commercials.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So
that Headshots to the Kid.
I think it'll be a commercial. It'll be like, in the eyes of a child. Right?
Yeah.
Do those dog commercials.
Uh-huh.
You shouldn't have to see those if you help animals. They should set it up that you're spared having to see some suffering animal. You know what I mean?
Commercials are tough.
Yeah. So it was great. Congratulations, guys. You did an amazing job.
I have a total as well of what we raised so far.
Well, I'm ready to hear. What is the total?
So this is all going to the New South Wales Rural Fire Service, and that is one of the main fire companies putting this out and trying to put this out, and it's just everything that's going on in Australia, you know.
It's horrifying.
Yeah. I've heard over a billion animals, homes, just, people, it's, you know, it's reaching cities. It's just
heartbreaking, just beyond heartbreaking.
For all our listeners down there, we're doing our best to get the word out, but also we did raise a good number, and I'm hoping we can top this in LA. But according to what the Bell House sold, plus we had a bucket going around, we raised last night, this is less than 24 hours ago, we raised $4,639.
Oh, that's fantastic. $4,639.
That's right.
You know what you do, Pat?
Rounded up?
I'll cover the roundup on that. Best Show covers the roundup on it.
I'm going to throw in as well.
Man, you do your thing. You do what you got to do. You don't have to do that. You're being a hero with your actions with this.
I'm already planning on doing that with Mike and Jason as well. So we're gonna throw in a little bit of a to top this off.
Okay. And, so we'll get it. So it's 5,000.
All right.
That's 5, great. 000. And now Mike. Week.
Yeah.
Congrats on your acting debut. I heard you got a standing ovation.
Yeah, well, like I said, I was running late, and literally I got there about 10 minutes before the thing started. Mm-hmm. So they already had a backup plan.
Yeah.
So I really basically walked from my car onto the stage. That's a nice cool move, right?
Yeah, Goodfellas style. Right? Well, you walk through the kitchen?
Yeah, right? I walked through people, and it was packed.
Yeah, and then when you know what I'm going to say? Look. I know Bell House can be hard to find. I'm going to call shenanigans on you a little bit. I think you wanted the moment. I think you couldn't stand it. You couldn't stand. You look, you see Brent Daniels there. He's making a big stink. You got Pat and Dudio are cleaning up. And Mike's like, I'm going to make everybody worry. I'm late and not going to show up. Then come in at the last second. Like the hero. Look, it's showmanship. I get it.
Yeah.
I give it to you. It's how you got it. Your name was B Buster, Mike. That's how we met. We met over you ripping one of my favorite bands.
Yeah.
It's in your playbook. Mike, I read your bleeping book. I read it, you magnificent bastard.
Yeah.
I know what you're all about. And if you want one of Mike's books, go over to apmike.bandcamp.com and he'll I'm starting to think the books you are giving out now on that thing, selling on that thing, are like under the sink, right? Like balancing a table.
Here's the thing. I mean, I've been sending out all books that I've read. This way I can vouch that I've read this book. I'm not just giving away books I'm not familiar with.
Yeah.
But I am hitting a little bit of a snag with one of the most popular genres of the FOT fan base is science fiction.
Yeah.
Which I don't – I'm not a big science fiction person.
No, you don't like it. You don't like – you're a reality kind of – you're a gritty, on-the-streets, real-world kind of guy.
Somewhat, but, you know, I think, you know, J.G. Ballard, I've mentioned before, is like, he's sort of borderline science fiction. I like him a lot. But, so.
J.G. Ballard, he's the football player?
No. Empire of the Sun. You ever see that movie?
Empire of the Sun.
Yeah. Steven Spielberg, a little
Star
movie.
Star Wars?
Steven Spielberg. He wrote the book for that.
Steven Spielberg wrote the book?
No.
But he writes books now? Well, I don't want to read any books he's writing.
But anyway, that was one of his books, although that book isn't science fiction. I mean, it's the exception to the rule.
He wrote Crunch.
Crunch, yeah. Crash.
Right?
Yeah.
Crash.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a weird one.
So your dude worked with, what's his face, Pete Holmes? No, that's Crashing.
Crashing, yes.
That's Crashing. You like Crash.
One of the Crashes, right? There's two Crash movies.
There's two Crashes. There's the one that's like the Matt Dillon Crash. Mm-hmm. And then there's like the one where it's like people get their jollies by with car crashes.
Yeah. And there's a prequel.
Yeah, they're a little different.
What's the prequel called?
Drive.
Oh, boy. this is the magic.
I can hang up if you want, Tom.
Yeah. No, please don't hang up.
Right,
don't hang up. Devin, don't hang up.
Okay, sorry.
You know that would mean that Mike and I would be hosting the show.
Yeah, you hang up. You'd only punish me and the listeners.
And then me and Tom would be recording a splinter show over here in L.A. on our own.
Exactly, yeah, but no one would.
No one would ever hear.
Yeah, no, we'd be just lost, and then Mike would just be like, now let's get dirty. He hung up. Great. Bleep. Bleep, bleep, nah. Did you didn't curse last night in the show, did you, Mike?
One of my lines does have an F-bomb.
Yeah.
You like it?
It went over well.
Yeah.
Wait, there is a photo of his standing ovation by Mindy Tucker, and I will post that on the Best Show feed tomorrow.
All right. AP Mike's standing ovation.
Was it a full? I saw a clip. It was like partial.
It's a photograph. It's a wide. I have it on my screen. I'll show it to you. But
was it a full standing? Like, what a leading question. Oh, geez. Was it a full one?
I saw a video and it was a partial. I'm like,
we're sorry. We're sorry, Mike. Well,
yeah,
everyone can really pull it together. Next time they'll make sure it's a full standing ovation. Remember when we did those shows at Murmur Theater, Mike?
Yeah.
And then I never saw anything like it. I'm up there beating my brains out. Me and Worcester are beating our brains out trying to do a show. Mike rolls in with the thing. He's selling his t-shirts like he's like a old fashioned cigarettes girl type thing. Like, going like, t-shirt, get your t-shirt. The entire place erupts.
Yeah.
You'd think that Mike Birbiglia walked in the way people were cheering.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. it was people were going nuts. Mm-hmm. I'm up there beating my brains out. I'm like, I don't have what this guy has. He's got it. Suddenly, I never felt more like Salieri than that in that moment. I was like, this guy, this AP Mike. How, damn it, how? How does he have the magic? And I'm outside looking in like a kid with his face pressed against a bakery window, looking at all those fresh baked goods he just can't get at, right?
Yeah.
I'm outside looking in. AP Mike walks in. Get your t-shirts. Well, I'm glad it went great. That's very exciting.
I had two people, too, that I really need to mention. One is, of course, Frankie Cosmos, who wrote a custom theme.
Yes.
And
our friend Greta. Greta, yes. Klein. Very
Greta
talented.
Klein. Frankie Cosmos came and delivered such a beautiful tribute to the script, writing a custom theme to Grown Ups 3. She was up. And that was just such a treat. She came back up and even played some instrumental for one of the montage songs, which was a lot of fun. And and Claire O'Kane as Nick Swartzen was just a home run.
That's awesome. I heard everybody killed. That's the great thing about it. So let's I celebrate all of you. And next week in Los Angeles, there will be a reading that should be so sold out, though, from what I heard.
It's sold out, but they're going to have hopefully a few tickets held at the door that night.
I hope they don't, honestly.
So please, if you are in the area, get there early, and you can check that out over at Bootleg Theater, nakedcomedy.com for more information.
I hope there are no tickets, but I'm weird like that.
And I'll be there.
And you'll be there. Pat will be there. Pat will be out in Lipstick City.
Brent
will be there. Brent Douglas doing his thing, right?
Looking forward to it. Really.
I'm looking forward to see Brent Dinklage when he's in action. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To see him out doing his Travolta strut. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Over the Travolta star.
Over the Travolta star. So tonight we're going to do Shark Tank, which is like Shark Tank. So if you have business ideas, you got a dream idea, you got $1 million idea. I got maybe I don't have the cash to write a check for you the way like a Damon, what's his name, the guy on the show. I can't remember. Or a Mark Cuban. Maybe I ain't got the cash those entrepreneurs have, but I got connections. We could make some magic. And maybe I'll write a check. It'd be for $30 or something. You know what I mean? But let's get the calls going. What's the call? Where are we at with the calls now? Any calls?
We have a full phone bank.
Full phone bank.
But, you know, the lines will be open here and there as we take calls and go through calls. You can give us a try over at 201-332-3484. That's the classic phone number. It spells out 201-DEAD-HUG.
That's right. How about anything on 5?
We actually, Mike just ran out to screen a quick call, and we'll see if he's now. Yep, that one's on hold right now.
Ooh, let's do that. Let's do that. Look at me. Give me line 5. Hello, best show.
I have a contribution for the topic.
For the topic for Shark Tank.
Yes,
my version of Shark Tank.
Now you're looking for an invention, right?
I'm looking for an invention or yeah, some sort of thing that could be like to get rich on.
You can just cancel all the other calls, all right? Okay. Hang up on everybody.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Oh yeah, I'm ready.
A high def television set that's also a pencil.
A high def television. Like a 4K TV?
Yeah, big screen.
Big screen TV. That's also a pencil.
Also a pencil. A normal size pencil.
And this is is this anything that's in the stages of planning or development with you?
No, I just think it's a cool idea. I was thinking maybe someone on your end could maybe fill that.
So you're blue skying it. You're throwing out big ideas, and somebody else has to make it happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's an idea that pretty much everyone on Earth would really want.
Sure. Pencils are really popular these days.
But don't forget the other part.
The TV?
It's an HD TV.
An HD TV that you can dismount from your wall and write in a notebook with?
That's up to R&D to figure out.
So you're just not sure if there's going to be like hooks on the back or something yet?
Haven't even thought about that. No,
you're not concerned about that.
No, I just think the idea is monumentally great.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, it sounds like a real winner.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, I think I recognize your voice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Do I? Am I wrong? Who is this?
Oh, it's only the guy who drove you to your first Wacky Packages convention. That's all.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Is this Reggie?
It's been a long time, buddy, hasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I have not spoken to you or seen you since, since like the last day of high school.
Yep.
Yeah, how have you been, Reggie?
A lot of adventures since I last saw you. You know, a lot of places gone, a lot of people met, a lot of money made. But you know, I'm the same old Reggie deep down. You know, I still love the music that we used to listen to in my AMC Pacer, the Hulkamobile. Remember that thing?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Music we would blast, Dokken, Blamange, Keel, Ultravox, Anvil, the Joe Boxers. What great music that was.
Those were the days, and people don't understand that you could listen to Anvil and Information Society back to back.
It was just good music to us.
I remember saying back then, I like all music. I like all of it. I like every genre.
Joke. Wasn't a joke.
I wasn't a joke, but then people would be like, really? And I'd be like, yeah, except country. I hate country.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I hate rap.
Right, right. Well, that was not our kind of music back then, but I some of that stuff. Now, I love when they mix rap and country like they're doing now. It's just the best.
It really is the best combination of musics.
And these lyrics are so good. It's like, I feel like right now we're at 90% on this, where all country songs are pretty much just the guy listing things that he's doing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the keys to a good time.
Or, exactly. It's yes.
Yeah, I guess it's like maybe it should be instead of C and W, right? Maybe it'd be right. Like C and I, like country and information.
I like it. Yes. Yeah.
Like we get rid of the country and Western. Just kind of lean into the fact these songs are very informative now.
A lot going on in there, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
I'm not sure. Like, if you go into some of these songs being like, I wouldn't know the first thing about what I need to have, like, a cool lake party, right?
Right. Right. Yes. I need that cooler, of course.
Yeah.
Well, here's what you need.
Jet skis,
pickup truck.
Pickup truck, jet skis, cooler filled with cold beer, a grill.
Grill. And here's what your lady needs. Can you guess what it is?
Bikini.
No, painted on jeans.
Painted on jeans, yeah. Yeah. That's really, what's that?
Technically, it's them painted on jeans.
Yeah. And they're really digging it. I think we got to, start following the advice in some of these country songs.
Right. I think it'll take you to new and exciting vistas.
You think so?
Say much.
Yeah.
No, whatever, really, vistas. But getting back to me and what I'm, I'm the same guy. I still eat 3 fillets of fishes a day.
I wondered about that.
I'm real health conscious now, and I only get the regular amount of tartar sauce now.
So you don't ask them for because you used to just go, like, I remember you'd almost even go behind the counter and be like, keep going.
I would, yeah, yeah.
Keep going.
Like, what do you want, like double? No.
Yeah. And do you remember that one time the guy was like, maybe you want some fillet of fish with your tartar sauce?
I was so embarrassed. I was so in the flesh. You guys had to hold me back. Remember that? I grabbed, they had sporks at that point at this McDonald's. And I was like trying to gouge him in the neck, and you really kept me out of jail that night.
Yeah. You'd probably just be getting out now.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. You know, but, getting back to me, you know, I'm still the same guy. You know, same as before, I can still only get off by reading erotic stories that I wrote myself.
Oh, God. Yeah, I was wondering about that also.
Remember I used to sell you guys my stories?
Yeah, I'm a little hazier on that. Maybe I'm blocking some stuff out.
Well, I fudged that a little bit. You guys didn't pay me. I kind of forced the stuff on you.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Because I mean, my goal was to just be like a regular contributor to Penthouse Forums, so I tried my stuff out on you guys first.
Yeah, you were quite the writer, Reggie.
I was. And hey, speaking of writing, you know how movies are written?
Do I know how movies are written?
Yes. Yeah.
Tell me. I'm interested to hear you tell me.
I was segueing into this. You know, okay. I still love the same movies, you know, that you and me and Dingleberry Dan and Fartface Mike and Metal Paul and Stinky Pete all saw at the old Newbridge Nanoplex. Remember that place?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Oh
my God.
Those were the days.
3 of those guys are dead.
I guess I can, maybe, but.
They lived worse even then, right?
Yeah, you know.
They did, but the movies we saw, I still think these are my favorite movies of all time. Uh-huh. Garbage Pail Kids, Meatballs 3, Bolero, American Ninja 3, Blood Hunt, Hobgoblins, Frank and Hooker. What else do we see? Amityville 3D, American Anthem, Silent Night, Deadly Night 3, Better Watch Out, Leonard 6, Police Academy 3, Back in Training. I'll tell you, we were so lucky to have been at that young age when all the best third movies and trilogies came out, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's because I always felt like that's when they get it right.
Yeah, it's like most of them don't get, you know, get in their groove till the third one.
I would remember walking out of some movies, like I remember seeing the first Police Academy and walking out going like, all right, I see what they're going for. They're showing me something. Then the second one comes out and going to see that be like, they're getting closer. They're circling it. Then you see that third one and you're like, bam, they got it.
Remember when we saw the, it's Charles Bronson, that third one.
Oh, Death Wish 3.
Oh, my God. And we would act out parts, like when that great line about the gun jamming, we would get up on, like almost on the stage at the theater.
Yeah, it's not working. Kill the MF-er.
Kill the MF!
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, those were the days. Bennett was his name. Martin Balsam played Bennett, the owner of a cab company.
That's right. And everybody was like punk in that movie, right?
It was a fair amount of punks. I don't remember when you'd go see shows and you'd see like punks at a show, it didn't seem like they were so concerned with anything other than punk music. Not like, hey, after this show, we're going to go terrorize a neighborhood.
Right.
Like the punks in the movies were very mobilized.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was like the music was maybe even like third on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But those were the days, those movies. You know, Reggie, I got a lot. All these memories are flooding back now with us talking, you know, it's like,
yeah.
One thing I remember about you that was just so unique, like the main thing I recall about you was just how fearless you were. Like, I really don't think I ever met anyone who got away with more, just kind of more things that could have gotten anyone else killed or in trouble. You know, I don't know how you did it.
Right? I mean, I was young and fearless then, and I'll tell you, like, even though I'm pushing 50 now and I've achieved a lot of success in many fields, I still think I've got a good amount of that mischievous streak in me. I really do.
You still do. You really think so? Like you can still do those things you were doing?
Yeah.
Really? Like give me an example.
Well, remember that thing I would do when we all be riding in the Hulkamobile blasting your Roman Holiday cassette,
mm-hmm.
and I'd go, watch this, guys. And I'd start tailgating someone until a cop pulled me over. Like, I'd do it for a long time. And at some point, a cop would see me and you know, and get behind me and pull me over. And then as soon as that window was rolled down, that cop was at the window, I would start crying. Remember that? And I'd say, I'd go, officer, I'm so sorry. I'm new to this car, and it's got the cruise control, and it's the cruise control stuck, and I didn't know how to turn it off.
Yeah, that was amazing when you would do that, and you could just turn on the tears at will. Unbelievable. And the crazy thing is that the cop always bought it and then just let you go.
Without fail, I never really suffered any consequences. I'll tell you, I still do that prank, only now I do it to the cops.
Wait, I'm not following. You do what? You do the prank to the cops?
Same thing. So basically, I've done this a couple of times. You know, I've got like a scanner, a police scanner, and I'll find out if there's a high-speed chase, like there's a little bit of a chase starting that I think could evolve into a high-speed chase.
Mm-hmm.
I find out where it's going, and I do the exact same thing. And these cops, you know, they're chasing these bad guys at like 90 miles an hour. I do 90 also behind the cop. Same thing, on the bumper, going like super fast. And then I get pulled over. And these other cops want to kill me. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Crying, cruise control. They let me go.
Unbelievable.
Isn't it? Isn't it?
That is wild.
Yeah. Well, another thing I also do, remember how we'd go to the Quinn Cities County Fair and Large Light Bulb Festival, and I'd walk up to the biggest kid from a different school and punch him right in the back, and then when he's about to kick my ass, I'd act just completely mortified. Yes. And tell him I thought he was my cousin from behind.
Unbelievable.
I'd weave this story that was so believable that they always let me go. Remember that?
I remember one time. Yeah, it was insane. I remember you would just go like, you'd find some huge kid and you'd go up and you'd go, hey, you'd call him a name and then and just like punch him hard.
Hard.
And they turn around. They would be like a kid that was like ready to fight. And then you'd be like, oh, no, no, you're not Doug, or whatever you would say.
Oh, my God, I thought you were Doug. I'm so sorry. And then, you know, a little bit of the tears, and then they're still at me, floodgate of tears.
Yeah, yeah, that was insane. I mean, I thought you were going to get killed at least 10 times.
I know, right? And I'll tell you, I still do it to this day.
You still do that?
Yeah, with famous people, though.
With famous people?
Yeah.
Who are you doing it with?
Got an hour? off the top of my head, John Bon Jovi, Dennis Rodman, Morton Downey Jr., Rahm Emanuel, Robert Downey Jr., Gene Simmons, Jim Downey from SNL, Bruce Jenner from Thin Lizzy, Ted Kennedy just before he bought it, everyone in Downey Mildew except the chick, who else? Conor McGregor.
Uh-huh. Conor McGregor, the UFC Ultimate Fighting Champion. How on earth? I guess it seems like he's got an insanely short fuse also.
Right?
How on earth do you get out of that one?
It's all in the prep.
Mm-hmm.
You do deep research on the person, okay? You find out things they like, especially where they're from, and you do deep research on the area they're from. And this comes into play after you realize they're buying that mistaken identity lie. Like, you got to just see that first glimmer of, oh, this is plausible, you know, in their reaction. And it's crucial you pretend you don't know who they are. You have no idea a famous person.
Okay.
Even if it's A-Rod, who I have also punched and pled. That's what I call it, punching and pleading.
A punch and play. So you did it to A-Rod.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but so you do it to Conor McGregor.
Yeah, so with him, I went up to him at the airport, and I pulled back so hard, and I just punched him on the neck. And he turns around ready to slaughter me.
Yeah.
And I put my hand over my mouth and I just go, oh my God, I thought you were my cousin Liam from Crumlin in Dublin.
Uh-huh.
And then you make up a completely plausible last name for that area. And in this case, it was O'Shaughnessy. And you just pile on on believable BS. You know, until they think there's no way this idiot would put their life on the line if they knew who I was.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
And once they buy it, you start talking about the stuff that you like, that you know they like, movies, et cetera. So that's what I did with him. Before you knew it, he and I are in the JFK Admiral's Lounge. He's buying me drinks. It was so cool.
That is, wow. That, you know, I guess, Reggie, at this point, the question I would have more than anything would be, like, why do you do this?
Well, why did we send those dogs to live on the moon in 1969? Because it's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I guess. Well, I don't know if the dogs lived on the moon, but I get what you're trying to say. Hey, you know what? You said earlier you've achieved you've had a lot of success or something to that effect. Like what have you been up to all these years?
Well, you know, I've always tried to keep my fingers in a lot of pies. That's mm-hmm. a nice visual, isn't it?
That's a great image.
It's pretty cool.
Makes you know what it makes me not want to eat?
Can I have one guess?
You get one guess on this one. No, you get three guesses.
Is it pie?
It's pie, yeah. You got it with the first guess.
Okay, see? Yeah. I still got it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I made a ton of money during the dot-com explosion.
Okay.
Yeah, I was one of the guys behind shopforyou.com, which is an online grocery service that was huge for about 3 months until people got mad that their groceries smelled like dead skunks.
Uh-huh. Wait, the groceries smelled like dead skunks. I mean, why did they smell like dead skunks?
Because the trucks that we bought were previously owned by a company that carted dead skunks, and I cashed out a day before they got shut down.
Okay.
That's a
canny business move on your part.
Right? Same thing with weed.com, which operated under the guise of, you know, of course, being a marijuana delivery service, mm-hmm. but was in actuality a garden weed delivery service.
So someone would order weed.
Yes.
And you'd bring over
just a big skid full of weeds.
That you'd get from, like, the park or whatever.
We'd pull them out of the park on the way to this guy's house, you know, and you can imagine how upset these people were, right?
Oh, I can only imagine, yeah.
Yeah, lucky for me, I cashed out the day it went live.
Uh-huh, okay. Well, another canny business move.
Right, it's true. What else? You know, I'm also the creator of Doomsday Preppies.
What's that?
Doomsday Preppies. It's a hugely successful reality show on Nat Geo that focuses on five total dweebs as they get ready for the end of the world. You haven't seen this thing?
No, Doomsday Preppies. I have not.
Yes. Yeah, it's really good. I also, same milieu, I dabbled in the erotic fair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You're talking to the man behind the Kramer versus Kramer franchise?
Ugh. Okay.
Yeah, we made 14 of them, and each was filthier than the last.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the movies, but just that title alone.
Well, huge profits have come from that. Hey, speaking of cream, I'm also one of the co-founders of Weird Stone Creamery.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's very impressive. I mean, I've been to the one out in Northwest Easterbridge, and that was really good. It was great, but it was it was weird too.
Right. Well, I'm certainly glad you enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, we got a fair amount of heat from Cold Stone Creameries from their lawyers, but thankfully the judge in this case ruled that there actually is a difference between preparing ice cream on a cold stone and preparing ice cream on a weird stone.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and can I ask you what makes the stones so weird?
All right, between you and me?
Yeah.
It's the same as the cold stone, but our stone has flashing lights in it, and every now and then it does like a weird sound, and then it also emits a puff of pink smoke.
Okay.
That's pretty much the difference.
That is weird, though.
It's kind of weird, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That is.
A good hook.
It is a good hook. I can see why people, I was going to say eat it up, and I guess literally they are eating it up.
Can I use that as our motto?
Yeah, sure.
It's no wonder people are eating it up. I like that.
You like that?
I like it. Yes. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's very good. And you know what's also pretty good?
What's that?
Just what I've done for myself. You know, I'm a pretty big success. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations, yeah. You know.
Thank you. All's great, you know, except for the marriage department.
How so?
Six and counting. Probably that's not great, right?
Six is a little high.
Right, yeah. Well, I'm on my seventh. And, okay. It's weird. I love everything about the lead up to marriage.
Uh-huh.
You know, I love announcing it on Instagram via professionally shot, meticulously planned surprise proposal in a very public place.
Mm-hmm.
I love the posting of photos of me and the bride on Instagram. I love getting a ton of likes on Instagram.
Sure.
I don't really do well with or have much interest in what comes after that.
Yeah, the actual living part of the stuff, right?
Yeah. I just kind of go, all right. And I have the same deal with kids.
Mm-hmm.
Love making them with their various mamas. I love posting the pregnancy and birth announcements on social media. I love coming up with baby names that reflect my personal taste in music and film.
Of course, okay. Like what? Like you have an example?
Yeah. I've got seven kids. There is Simonon. He's the oldest.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What else is there? Mercury. I'm a huge Queen fan.
Okay. What is the name?
Mercury.
Okay, sure. Gotcha. Okay.
That's the first name. Hackman. I love all the Gene Hackman films, especially the one where he's in court against his daughter. That's mm-hmm. a great. What's that called? Civil something? I don't know what it's called.
Where he's in court against his daughter.
His daughter, remember that? It was a sleeper movie, early 90s.
Okay. All right. I'm not familiar with the oeuvre to the degree that you clearly are.
That's okay. You know, I don't have a great relationship with these kids, but I still pay for them. You know, I pay everything. I'm very generous. And that's basically the reason I'm calling you.
Okay. Okay, what's up?
Well, I consider myself very, very lucky to have made a flagrant boatload of money over the last couple of decades. And there are a few things I enjoy more than giving back and donating money to as many deserving charities as possible.
Wow, that's really great to hear, Reggie.
Speaking of, did you hear about that huge donation someone made to the Newbridge Poor People's Hospital?
I did. It was a very impressive. It was something like $250,000, and it was an anonymous donor. Really impressive.
Very impressive. Like that's big money, and that's where you come in.
What do you mean?
Well, I was a donor.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And I'd like you to make that known via your Twitter account, you know, that I am the donor. I see you have a ton of followers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I do okay. Yeah, look, I understand. Why would you want to do that, though? Because, you know, I mean, it is such a classy thing to just donate the money and not make it about the public show, because it proves that, like, it shows your heart is in the right place.
No, I get that. You are absolutely correct. But the truth is, I thought I'd feel good donating all that cash anonymously, but I only felt kind of good. But I know I'll feel really good if everyone knows it was me.
So it's not about, look, I mean, the helping is one thing. That's amazing. But you need this other component where you're known.
Well, yeah. I mean, everyone wants to be recognized. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, don't know what to tell you, Reggie. Reg? Hey, Reggie? Are you still there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I got lost just thinking about all the good times we had back then.
Back in the past? Like, whoa. Okay.
Well, like, life, don't you agree life was so much simpler back then? It was way more fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Right? I mean, school was great. Oh, my God. Do you remember when our gym teacher, Mr. Schwarzendruber, got shot?
Oh, my God. That was like a huge story. And, you know, I don't know if people know or not, but Mr. Schwarzendruber was this real, like, I guess we called him like a hard ass. You know, he was the guy who really just a real handful.
I don't know if he did this to you, but he would make some of us eat our gym outfits if we sweated too much, which was weird because it was like you're in gym, you should be sweating.
Yeah, that he would be mad about that is very strange, you know.
Did he do the laundry or something? I don't know.
I don't know, but he was a rough guy. And then one day he was like shot in the upper haunches as he's walking to his car at the end of the school day. And right. he did survive but that was it for him. Like he never taught gym again or even coached semi-pro tetherball ever again.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like a different guy after that. What a weird situation that was.
It's funny.
You talk about my exploits like they're crazy, but I still can't believe you shot our gym teacher from the nearby woods with a high power Italian rifle and got away with it.
I didn't do that. Why would you say that? I didn't do it.
Oh, wait. No, that was me. Anyway, is it true that you know some of the impractical jokers?
Wait, no, hold on a second. Before you start sliding over to talk about the impractical jokers, you know, you're accusing me. You're accusing me, but then you just like said you did it? Did you really shoot our gym teacher?
Yeah.
Why did you do it?
He was a dick. You're not gonna tell anyone, are you?
Well, I mean, look, I'm not gonna go and tell anybody, but you just did tell everyone.
But you can keep a secret, right?
Reggie, you just said it live on the Best Show.
What? Yeah. Wait, but you can still edit that out before it goes in podcast form.
Well, Reggie, I took the podcaster's oath, and I plan to uphold that oath, which I shall not edit out any information that could prevent my podcast from cracking the Apple Podcast Top 100. I take that oath very seriously. And I mean, I can't just, I mean, you said it. Wait, what is that?
No. Wow. Oh, no.
I hear sirens.
I gotta hang up. Oh, it's Officer Harrops. He must be listening to the show. Oh my God. And to make matters worse,
yeah.
I've punched and pled him more than just about anybody in town, and now he knows it's a prank.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Well, it looks like I'm headed for the hut.
Okay.
But, you know, I'll tell you, on the positive side.
Yeah, what's the positive side?
I wonder if I could get away with punching the warden in the head.
The warden of the prison you're going to get sent to.
Yeah, what do you think? You know anything about where he's from or his likes and dislikes?
I don't know anything about the warden at the prison.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, they're coming. He's coming. Oh, I got to go. They got me. It was fun to catch up.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry, officer. I thought you were my cousin, Rick. Yeah, he's the cop in a Village People tribute band, and that's how we greet each other.
Hello? I think the line just went dead. Oof. Reggie. Haven't talked to that guy in ages. Yeah, that's something else. Man, what do we got here? What do we got? We got, Shark Tank. Tom Sharpling's Shark Tank. We're going to start doing some of that. Mike?
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good.
You got to watch this show, The Circle.
Yeah, no, you're, I already made a mental note. Check
there's, it out. There's a guy on it, Joey, that you're going to flip for.
Yeah. What type of guy?
What type of guy? He's like the situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I'm going to tell you, you're going to like him.
Takes it to the next level.
He takes it to the next level. Because the show basically is they take these mutants, right? And they put them in different apartments in this one apartment building, and they're all talking through social media to each other. The Circle is like the network.
I got you.
And then somebody gets like voted out or whatever every episode. But
they don't ever see each other or interact. It's all through social media?
For the most part, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's weird.
Yeah. And it that's the show. Mm-hmm. That's the show, Mike.
Yeah.
And They have a thing where they talk and then they answer questions and whatnot, and then someone goes home and it's just like who's gonna stay in the circle. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, Joey. There's this guy Shoebomb, right? Mm-hmm. Who's kinda like a
Shoebomb.
Okay. Yeah, he's kinda not Shoebomb, like I'm at the airport with a Shoebomb.
Okay.
His name is like Shubahm. Like, it's not shoot, and not Shoebomb.
That's a pretty good nickname, though.
That'd be a pretty good nickname.
Shoebomb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
very specific.
Yeah, so he's doing his thing, and then, and like that guy's like a nerdy fella who is not, and Shoebomb and, Joey. Get quite a friendship going on this thing.
So you know they're going to make it to the end.
Well, you don't. No. Mike, there's no guarantees on any of this stuff.
But the people who create the show know they got to keep those guys.
Mike,
out.
I don't know. I don't know. What do I look like? I'm behind the scenes on this thing? And so he goes, and he'll say things like, Shelby, I would die for you.
Yeah.
I got your back. Hashtag bros for life.
Does he offer his shirt off his back? That's the other line he uses.
He goes, well, Mike, half the time he's not wearing a shirt.
Has anybody ever done that?
He's strutting around his apartment shirtless. Oh. He's usually in a towel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Usually putting some...
He's a shirtless guy, yeah.
Yeah, because he's ripped. He's ripped.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're gonna like this show, Mike. And did you hear Chapo? It's Stackhouse. Chapo. It's not Steakhouse. It's Stackhouse. They were talking about. They had the Safdie brothers on, right?
I did hear about this.
And they had them on, and I knew this. This is the thing, people. I keep some stuff close to the vest with this show. I don't tell everybody everything, right?
Yeah.
The Safdie brothers told me this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play a little clip from Chapo Trap House. Hold on. Chapo Trap House. Tramp House. How do I play this? Let's see. Is this playing? Why would that not play over the thing? Yeah, let's figure it out. Devin?
Yeah.
Why is this file not playing over the...
Yeah, it's playing out of your speakers.
It's playing over the computer speakers. Yeah. I want it over the air. There's got to be some sort of thing where I'm choosing the
sound output.
Sound output.
The external headphones.
Yeah. Yeah. Sound output.
Should be in your just like your regular settings. If
you're, where?
Your little toolbar down at the
bottom. Here?
No, it should
preferences.
Be.
What?
Sure. Yeah.
No, I don't want to update the manual. I'm doing the best show. Sound.
Yeah. Output.
Output.
External heads.
That?
No.
External no, that.
Heads. Yeah. Which I know was what it was on, but sometimes you got to reset it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
There we go. Thank you, Devin.
You got it.
So this is the Safdie Brothers, makers of Uncut Gems and Good Time, amongst other movies, on Chapo Trap House.
I could do it.
There is a,
and they're talking about the character that Benny Safdie, who's an actor in Good Time, portrays, and he does a character and a voice and stuff, and this is what they're talking about to give context.
You guys know Tom Sharpling?
Yeah, of course. You see, Mike. Why am I toiling away? I got the Safdie Brothers. These guys are the hottest people in the biz, right?
Yeah.
And then you got this Chapo Trap House. These guys are making bags of money. All they do is go, Trump sucks. And then somebody then a boop, 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 a dump truck filled with money backs up. Then she'd be like, oh, I hate Mike Pence. Boop. Boop, boop. Meanwhile, I'm over here scrounging. I gotta take. Devin just left the room. I'm gonna take a sip of his bubbly, his drink. Not bubbly, not champagne. Boobly, whatever it is.
Oh, we used to listen to the best show a lot.
I'm not sure why they used to listen. We can still listen. Still here.
Yeah, still here,
guys. Ronnie listens. Ronnie still listens.
And Benny, that character. Was developed with Ronald Bronstein, who wrote the movie.
And then every once in a while, Ronnie would be like, oh, well, no, people aren't going to, it's not real. It's not going to work.
No one's going to buy that voice.
Yeah, nobody's going to buy the voice. I'm like, no, I'm telling you I could do the voice. People will accept it as real. And it was just a whole thing. And so I would call into
his. Who's the greatest judge of
yes, is Tom Sharpling them. Always gets these calls. Get off my.
Gomp, yeah. Yeah.
Look at this, Mike.
Yeah.
These are guys, hottest directors in the biz. They're saying Gomp. They get the show.
Yeah.
Why don't they put me and you in the movie?
Why not? Yeah.
We could have played street trash. Right?
Yeah, that one guy, the older guy keeps coming up to him.
You should have been in the part where the guy's going, hey! Where the guy's like, I want the money! You give me the money! That could have been you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
or the one guy that looked like Larry from Three Stooges?
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, that's the guy.
That could have been you. Or you could have been, what's his face? Tan Man. Right, the one who's tan who flies the helicopter.
You're going to get off my phone. And I would call trying to convince him that I was a real person. And so I would call as Nick. And I would get onto the phone, and then there was a whole thing with the grandmother listening. I had this whole theory of like this whole scene that was working, and he didn't hang up. It got really like silent on the air, and then I think actually our friend Jake was also listening, and he texted me right when it happened. He goes, man, it's like, you got it. Like you, he totally thinks that that's real. And it was,
all right, I want to just say one thing about this. So they're leaving a couple details out on this.
Yeah.
One being that, if someone calls and they have a voice that is maybe not conventional, yeah. I try to show a little consideration and not just go, you're fake! Because sometimes people have different voices. Mm-hmm. And I'd rather let someone who's doing some hijinks get through the cracks than unfairly accuse somebody whose voice is not as whatever. It doesn't sound like what the voices that radio shows would expect to hear or whatever. People got different voices. That's how it goes.
Just like, got silent.
So you test these things in real life. Yeah.
Yeah. In that sense, it was just like, but I've had full on interviews with people who.
So look, it's very flattering. First, I'm going to say, I ain't going to look no gift horse in the mouth on this. This is usually when old Tom would have blown it, right? This is when old Tom was. This is an old Tom, new Tom kind of thing moment right here. Yeah. Old Tom, new Tom. Old Tom would have turned this into a 5-hour screamathon and somehow would have irked the Safdie brothers and Ronnie Bronstein. Dear sweet Ronnie. Oh, Mike, wait till you meet Ronnie. Did you watch Frownland, Mike?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait till he makes Frownland 2.
Yeah.
Port of Call Bayonne. If he was going to make a movie, Frownland 2, Port of Call Bayonne, would you be in it?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. But I think he said on one of the commentaries that the main actor is no longer speaking to him.
Oh, what's his face is?
Yeah.
The guy who's the star of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I got to get some stuff going. Man, I'm flopping left and right. Mm-hmm. I get these Uncut Gems guys. All I'm known is the guy that they prank phone. Because here's old Tom. Old Tom. Stop it, old Tom. Stop it, old Tom. Uh-huh. Old Tom, new Tom. Old Tom's going to do some woe is me routine, and somehow it's the Safdie brothers' fault. Right, Mike?
Yeah.
You've seen me do it. You've seen me do it. Mm-hmm. I'm the guy that wrote Grown Street, Mike.
Yeah.
I don't see any of these other people right there. I don't see some of these other people cleaning up. Cedric the Entertainer, I don't think he wrote Grown Ups 3. Well, his special's really good. His new stand-up special's really good. Do you like him, Mike?
Who's that?
Cedric the Entertainer.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny. I like him. Old Tom, new Tom's got to catch these things. New Tom, this is new Tom. New Tom wants Shark Tank. I'll get some sweet piles of cash. Then the best show will be more. I'm not gonna put me foot in me mouth no more. Cause I'm dancing on that edge. You feel it, don't you, Mike?
I do. I got a couple ideas for a Shark Tank.
All right, let's hear it. Come bring, you be the first one up. Welcome to the tank.
Well, these are specific to the bar.
What's your name?
My name's Mike. And I work in a bar. And, there's certain things that happen in a bar that I think can be explored. One thing you see happen in bars occasionally, somebody drinks too much and they start falling asleep.
Okay.
And this happened to actually just last week. This guy came in. This guy sort of terrifies me, Tom.
Yeah.
This is a regular Masters customer, and he was a nighttime guy. And every time he came in at night, I noticed that the bartender, this guy was to go only. This guy was not allowed to sit down at the bar and have a beer.
Okay.
But he came in during my shift on Saturday. And I'm like, all right, you know, this guy frightens me. You know, he reminds me a little bit of the character from the latest series of Twin Peaks. The drunk, you know, that character.
Oh yeah, I like how you can bring anything back to, that you got that guy to call the show 11 years ago.
But it applies to this guy because he is kind of scary looking.
Yeah.
And but then he sat down. He didn't get the packaged goods to go, so I'm not going to sit there and arbitrate with him, you know, over his status in the bar.
Mm-hmm.
So he sits down, and he's not drunk yet. He didn't come in with a foreign load. And he's being somewhat friendly to me. You know, he gave me one of those super hard handshakes, mm-hmm. which I'm like, oh, is he testing me?
Always a questionable moment.
Yeah.
Is the handshake too tough? Are you a tough guy? You're trying to show me you can beat me up?
Yeah.
Or are you disinterested? You're dropping your dead fish in my hand?
Yeah. And in the back
Which one's worse, Mike?
They're both bad. Yeah, the limp. Yeah, the dead fish. That's
dead
weird.
Fish is the worst because dead fish is it's like what are you the royal family?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you're vaguely disinterested in shaking my hand.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh yeah, I'll give you my fingertips.
I had something worse the other day. I had someone just look at my hand and say nice to meet you, and then look back up at my eyes.
Okay. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I stuck my hand out and said, "Hey, I'm Pat," and they looked at my hand and then looked back up at me and said, "Nice to meet you."
And they were like, "Sir, this is an Arby's." Can we stop? Can that? It might be time for that response to. Can we leave that one back into 2019? Sir, this is a Burger King. Do you know that one, Mike?
Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah. Well.
So anyway, this guy's there, and okay. It's
well, he's, end Mike's, of Mike's got a story to tell. He's hurrying past my thing.
So it's towards the end of my shift.
Yeah.
And he's not gone yet, you know. So then my relief comes on, and he sees this guy. And, you know, he's like already expecting trouble, you know, and he's like, thanks, Mike, you know, because I left a time bomb with him. And sure enough, he got drunk very fast. You know, I don't know if he was doing anything outside, that, you know, made him go so fast, but he did. And so, he started nodding out at the bar. And I'm thinking like, well, what if you had like a patch? You know, for guys at the bar who might, you know, put their head down and then like a little alarm goes off when their forehead hits the bar when they go to sleep.
So it's a thing to stop people from fully falling asleep in public.
Yes. And then maybe sell it together. With,
and do you picture it being like a headband? How do you see this?
Well, when the head goes down, yeah, that's when they're like totally out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so their head is still erect. You could be sleeping with, you know, I know what you're saying. Yeah, you could be sleeping. So maybe it should be a thing for the eyes.
What do you mean? Like glasses or an implant?
The eyelids go down. It'd be like little sensors you could attach to. Attached to the eyelids, that when they go down, the alarm goes off.
What? So you, what do you want to do? Like the $6 million man?
Yeah, something.
How has that never been? First of all, how is there no new $6 million man thing? Right.
Give it a minute.
But secondly, $6 million. That was impressive.
Mm-hmm.
$6 million, you can make a Blumhouse horror movie. That's what you get with $6 million these days, right?
Yeah.
Try $6 billion man.
And the other item.
Okay.
I thought for the bar.
I'm not investing in this one.
I'm not investing. You pass on that one.
No, well, maybe, passing. That's a hard pass.
Maybe this will be a little better. Smart underwear.
Pass.
Smart panties.
Pass.
This is for drinkers, and this also happened last Saturday. Some drinkers, really, they reach a stage of intoxication so severe that they, you know, lose control. And we thought this was the case on Saturday. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe an alarm in the underwear that could go off, alerting some of these patrons who don't even realize what they've done.
Well, that's a classy... That's a classy product.
Well, it's like I said, it's specific to the bar business.
Mm-hmm.
I think other bartenders could vouch for some of this stuff I'm explaining.
So you just want underwear that gives a heads up that you're about to have a problem?
Well, no, it actually goes off. Like I said, these people are severely intoxicated, so they don't even know when they've done something.
Mm-hmm.
And this would alert them to that fact and also the whole bar because, you know, there can be an odor and then it's like everybody's around.
No. Why don't you put it up on apmike.bandcamp.com? See how they do.
Catchy name, though. Smart Underwear.
Yeah.
I don't think that's out there yet.
No, you got a clear, you got a green light on that one, Mike.
I'll register it.
You got to run with that.
Yeah.
Well, those are two noble attempts. What do we got? Who's some calls we got? Any calls?
We do, and I just internet searched smart underwear, and I'm sorry, Mike, but it's out there.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't on mic, but he cursed. Which line would you like? We have a full phone bank.
Just throw me whoever.
All right. Number one.
Welcome.
Hey, what's going on, Tom?
Oh, not a whole lot. To whom am I speaking?
This is Mike in Nashville.
Mike in Nashville. What's up, Mike?
Not much. How are you?
I'm good. You got something for the Shark Tank?
I sure do.
A business? Yes, you got a business idea? Your billion-dollar idea?
Billion-dollar idea, maybe $2 billion idea.
Let's hear it.
All right. So I workshopped this with my father. We're calling it Death Watch. It's like it's a Fitbit you wear. You tell it analyzes your life habits. And like the amount you exercise and stuff like that. And it uses analytics to give you a reasonable estimate of the day you will die.
Okay.
So, but where you exercise and stuff, you can change it and push it back and stuff.
Sure. So it just like speculates on when you're going to die.
Pretty much. Yeah.
That's ghoulish. I don't want any part of this product.
That I understand.
You and your father sound like peas in a pod. God bless both of you. God bless both of you.
Thank you.
But you sound like one's weirder than the next. You can only blame him. Only blame him a little more because he taught you.
He taught me to be this way. Yeah, we feed off of each other when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I salute you, but I condemn you. I condemn you at the same time I salute you.
That I understand.
It's unfortunate, but it's where we find ourselves.
I wouldn't like it any other way.
Thank you, my friend. Hang up on this clown.
You.
Gone.
Give me another call, please.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Welcome to the best show.
Hello.
Yes. Hi. Welcome.
Live.
Hi.
Hi. Who's this?
Hi. This is Nick in New Haven.
Nick in New Haven. What's up, Nick?
Hey, I'm calling for the topic. Well, first I want to say I went to the reading at the Bell House, and it was fantastic.
You were at it.
I was there.
All right. Give me some context for this. You're there. Did you give AP Mike a standing ovation?
Well, I was standing. There were a lot of people standing already because it was so packed.
Yeah.
But I did see, I was going to the bathroom before it started, and I saw AP Mike going into like a side door, and I was like, oh, that's Mike, you know, because I recognized mm-hmm. him. And then, you know, Pat was saying that Mike's not there. I was like, that's weird because I saw him.
That's right. We had and a blow then, off.
And then, you know, I thought it was all kind of a staged thing, but I guess it was real.
Oh, I think it was real, but I do think Mike played up the moment a little bit.
Hmm.
I'm going to say Mike saw an opportunity to make himself kind of like the, and I'm not saying this is you, Mike, at all, but it's not unlike the somebody. They get these firefighters who start a fire and then they're the first ones to the fire. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I worry about with that. I feel like he was playing the role of a hero. Don't worry, no. The panic can stop. I'm here. Oh, yeah. Thank God Mike's here. Oh, Mike, you made it. We were worried about you. If he would have shut up 2 hours early, nobody would have thought twice about him. He's learning. Young Padawan, you're learning. Go ahead. Go ahead. Caller.
Okay, I have one. I have one for the topic.
What do you got?
Okay, so it's like a latex suit that you hook up to your shower head, and so that you can just be completely enveloped in the water, and the water drains on your feet.
Yeah.
And your face is cut out too, but your whole body is just covered in the pulsing warm water.
So it fills up with water.
Yeah.
The appeal is that you put this latex suit on, you hook your shower, your tub up to it, your faucet or shower head, and it fills up with water.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds. What's that?
You're like in it. You're like, you know, there's a little bit of give in the suit because it's not totally skin tight, so the water can just kind of surround you.
With the appeal of this being what? The sensation of it?
I got to work on my target audience. I don't know exactly who it would appeal
to. Sounds like you're trying to cater to preverts with this thing.
Well, okay. Yeah, I mean, I have not, you know. Could be like a fetish item, but I think
I ain't putting no value on that. If that's the kind of business you're trying to shop around, you might want more power to you.
How about less mess in the bathroom? You know, it's sort of
There you go. Just in case, anybody wasn't sure whether Mike could find a new angle on something that was already disturbing.
You know, if the water is going directly down the drain, rather than all in the shower, so there's going to be less cleanup.
Well, I got you, Mike. I understood exactly what you were going for.
All right,
I'm just saying you got to admit, you in the world of improv, you know, yes and Mike. Do you know what that is?
I don't know those things.
You don't know what yes and is.
No.
Well, you should. First of all, you paging Alan Comover, because sounds like somebody's got to take a level one class.
Yeah.
Like Dudio is always claiming he studied with what's his face? Alan, actually, right?
He's the master.
He's the what?
The master.
Well, he does that show, but he was a teacher at an improv teacher, and Dudio is always claiming he took classes with him. Which I find it sounds sketchy at best. But yes and is like, Mike, it's like you build the reality of the thing, right? Where if I say, that's a nice, blue shirt you're wearing. And you go, yes, and I bought it at Costco. You don't go, I'm not wearing a blue shirt. But in the world of improv, Mike, what you're taking improv techniques, and I think what you pioneer is something I call yes and now I have to throw up.
What? Why do you need the yes?
Because you're saying I'm affirming what you're saying.
Okay.
And I'm going to build on it.
Okay. All right.
So this guy wants to do some kind of thing where you fill up a latex suit with hot water and to get your jollies. And Mike is saying, yeah, and then you could just go inside of it.
Right. But the water's running through, it's draining through your feet too. So it's massaging you too. So maybe it has like a.
I'm siding with Mike on this one. God help me. You got some work to do, my friend. Mike actually punched your idea up.
I appreciate that. But Tom, I had one more question about the Grown Ups 3 script too.
Oh, what's that now?
This might contain a spoiler. Is that okay? If it's not, I won't
keep
say.
Keep it. Be kind. Be kind.
Okay. All right. So, I'll drop it. I'll end on a good note.
Good. Let's just do that. Hang up on this guy. Another call, please.
Line 2, you're on with Tom.
Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom. This is Paige from Los Angeles.
Paige from Los Angeles. What's up, Paige?
I'm hanging out at work, and I was in
work.
The kitchen.
Very fancy. Look, look who's showing off.
I know. I have a job.
What type of job is it, Paige? You don't have to say literally, but what field?
Oh, finance.
Mm. So you're flush. You got big bucks, right?
Not really.
It's all right. I'm not. There ain't no value judgment on it. I want big money too. That's why I'm doing Shark Tank.
Yeah, that's why I'm calling into Shark Tank.
We got to get some money. I got to be a player. That's the problem. I'm not a player, Paige. I'm not a player.
You got to get in the game.
What's something people have said about your name, which isn't a very nice name, by the way? Like, did they say turn the page? Did you get that a lot?
Yeah. There's
page one.
Guys in high school with their last name Turner, and they're like, you should marry them, then you'd be Paige Turner.
Yeah. And would they say, like, oh, front page is, you know.
I've never gotten front page.
Mm. Well, I hope they don't. I hope I'm not inspiring people with new material. It's a nice name, though. Seriously, it's a very nice name. Do you like your name, Paige? Do you like your name?
I don't know. I used to not like it. I mean, I'm kind of neutral on it now. I didn't like that it started with a P because of P.
Sure.
And it reminded me of peaches, which I thought, like, didn't like being near, like, I was fruit. I don't know. This was me as a child. Mm-hmm. And now I just think of like when I see other people named Paige, I feel like they're always way cooler than me. And I'm like, I am not cool enough to have that name because that sounds weird. Like, I don't know. Like even on Degrassi, there was a Paige and she was like really like cool kind of.
Not cool enough to have the name Paige?
That's what I felt like. I don't know.
Oh, let it. You're fine.
Wait, I've never talked this in depth about my name before. this is getting deeper than my therapy session this morning.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're doing great.
Thank you. I was telling a coworker that I was calling into Shark Tank, and I think they thought I was you were gonna actually possibly invest in the idea I have, and they were rather bewildered given my idea. They were really nice about it. They were not judgmental. I have a product pitch, but I also have a business idea. What would you rather hear?
You put your best foot forward, Paige.
Okay. A product I truly wish existed. It's also shower related.
Okay.
But I don't think it might have appeal to the fetish community. I don't know, but that's not the point of it. It's for people who want to save water or are in a rush or are very tired. Don't feel like being wet for that long. It's a pod that you step in and you stand with like your arms and legs out, like in the shape of a star, and you're just in car wash. You're just blasted with water, then you're blasted with soap, then you're blasted with water, and then you're blow dried with air, and maybe there's even something in there that like brushes your teeth for you, and it all happens in like less than 2 minutes. And you just go in, go out, very water efficient, very time efficient, you're clean. And then you can just go right or carry on with your day.
And how would this be set up? Just explain the what this looks like in a home.
I'm imagining like kind of a human size, a little bigger, like egg shaped thing. Maybe like, have you ever seen like an in-home cryo chamber?
Okay. So an in-home cryo chamber that does all your washing for you.
Yeah, you just get blasted with water.
Okay.
Like car wash. Human car wash. But it works. It's good for you.
So you call it the human car wash?
I think I'd call it the the U-Wash.
The U-Wash.
I like U-Wash.
Okay.
You don't wash. No one's washing. It's the machine's wash. I just don't need to think of a title.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I'm on the fence with this one. I'm on the fence.
Think about all the potential benefits. Like, I'm from Los Angeles. We have a drought, you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
water is not... Even people just, like, in Bakersfield, like, a few hours away, they only get, like, 5 gallons a day. People got to bathe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really don't like, bathing.
Okay.
Now, because it just takes time.
You got a lot to do. You're busy.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
You're busy. Or just like, sometimes, like, if you have ADD or ADHD, just like getting up to do the thing, even if it's like a really easy thing that you want to do, is like hard. Like, okay. Oh, I really want to brush my teeth, but I'm horizontal on the couch. Or even like going to get the remote to change the thing. So you'll just watch like infomercials for like 2 hours until you're like, okay, you got to do it now.
All right. I'm going to throw you $20.
$220?
To start working on the human car wash.
All right. Okay, I can work
$20.
With that. What about?
And I own half of it. What's that?
Can I get a line of credit with that?
You find out. You can go to,
from you?
To Bank of America with that secured $20 and then tell them all about the human car wash.
Just go up to the tower.
Just go, yeah, they're not even going to let you sit at one of the desks at the bank. They're just going to be like, human car wash. You're like, yeah, you can talk at the counter. Maybe they'll take the 20, they'll give you change. Right, they'll break the 20 for you.
Do you think if I tell them that it not only has potential for the environment and people in a rush, but it also has potential for the fetish community, they would do it to me? Or do you think that would detract from it?
I say you just go for it.
Or just go for it?
Go for it. Yeah.
Can I tell you my business idea?
Of course you can.
Thank you. It's a Cafe Carne. This was created not only by myself. It was kind of a collaboration of great minds. It's a restaurant that only serves meat, and it serves even vegetable dishes like salads, but with meat replacements. So, for example, the salad might be made out of like pig skin as the lettuce, and maybe like chicken feet for the carrots, and maybe like eyeballs for the fish eyeballs for the cherry tomatoes. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of this one. I gotta say. It's a strange thing to work hard to turn non-meat things into meat. It seems like you got a vendetta against nature.
I mean, animals are nature.
Oh, I'm fully aware of it. That's why you're lashing out at them.
Oh, got it. It's totally cruelty-free. Animals live great lives up until the moment of their death. And the meat is brought in quality daily from the docks.
Oh, well, as long as the meat's coming in fresh from the docks. From the docks.
None of the
meat.
Where
are you working? That's not how... So these are overseas. You know they do plenty of there's plenty of animals that are here in the U.S. that people eat, kill and eat. Yours are being shipped in though.
get a better deal for my guys at the dock.
So you got an eyeball connect.
You got an eyeball fish eyeball connect. There's a guy who just gives me a mixture of high quality meat. They're left over, but they're high quality.
You're losing me on this one. I'm so sorry. This one's sad. This one's troubling.
Sorry, Tom.
I'll invest $5 in that one.
All right, that'll get you a plate of meat fries.
Oh,
next time.
This is truly disgusting.
This is a nightmare.
Yeah, this is it. Really is. This is like a horror movie.
Yes,
you're pitching a horror movie. Is what you're pitching, not a business idea. You're pitching an early '80s horror movie, like Motel Hell or something.
All right. Well, in my business plans, we can pivot to a movie deal.
All Cafe. Right. There you go. Cafe Carne, the movie.
Exactly. Perfect.
$4. I'm taking a dollar back. All right. Thank you for the call.
Thanks, Tom. Have a good night.
You too. How many calls we have left?
We have three calls.
Good. These are the final three because we got a hard out here. At Earwolf, they got hard outs here. So let's take these calls. Best Show, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
It's good. To whom am I speaking?
This is Claire in Minneapolis.
Claire in Minneapolis. What's up, Claire?
Nothing much. Just hanging out, working a little bit. And I have an idea to pitch you that I'm hoping you'll get behind. So, you know, these like meal delivery services, like the meal kit things, like, you know, like HelloFresh and all that.
Yeah.
So, and I don't love that this is like not the first time I'm calling in on this thing, but I want there to be, it's like instead of meals, like you can vape instead of eating. It's like protein vapes, and here I have a slogan, and I have everything. So there's this one meal kit service that's called Blue Apron, and mine would be called Blue Vapron.
Blue Vapron, that's
the slogan. The slogan would be, it's like Soylent for your lungs. So this is for people who like just don't want to prepare meals and everything, and there's like actual nutritional value and whatever, and you could make like, so they, what I'm picturing is they send you like this kit, and it has like all these like little glass vials and everything, and like so you like are cooking sort of, and you could make, you know, like if you combine like these flavors, you could get like beef Wellington and all that, you know what I'm saying?
So it's a weird version of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Willy Wonka, with the, mm-hmm. the with the candy tastes like different, like the meal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Combined with smoking,
mm-hmm.
or vaping, so sorry. And it has a definite dystopian feel to it also.
Yeah, I would say, like, I think that the packaging is, like, fairly minimalist. Like, it just has, maybe there's, like, different flavor components, like you get, it's like a salt, fat, acid, heat thing. So there's one that's like umami, and there's one that's like earthy, if you want to get greens in there. And then you could have, like, you know, this show, maybe like we could get Vice to make a show with it. You know, this like Bon Appetit show that they're doing where they're like cooking and edibles, like, but it could be with this instead.
Well, we can dare to dream on that one that we get Vice on board. Now the, what's the one meal thing? Hello, what's it called?
Hello Fresh.
Because here's my idea to you.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready for this. It's a meal delivery service called Oh Hello Fresh. And all it is tuna. Right? Somebody at John Mulaney on that. And Nick Kroll, please. Tell them that I just created a meal delivery service called Oh Hello Fresh. And it's just tuna. It's just a box full of tuna.
Fresh from the docks.
Fresh from the docks. Well, that's where you get the deals. All right. I'm not spending a nickel on your terrifying dystopian vaping meal replacement program.
That's okay. Thank you for hearing it out.
Have a great night.
You too. Bye.
Any other calls?
We have two left.
Two. Let's take these two.
You're on with Tom.
Best show. Hi, best show. What's up?
Tom.
Hey, who's this?
This is Jack from New York.
Jack what?
Jack from New York.
Jack from New York. What's up, Jack?
Not much. I actually have two ideas for the topic.
Give me your best one.
Best one? Okay. All right. Well, it's this social media website.
Yeah.
And it's where you live stream your naps. And you can, it's kind of like Cameo, but for naps.
And what's the appeal of people watching you nap?
Oh, it's kind of a reminder to let people know that, you know, napping is healthy and that it is, something, good to have as a routine.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's one of those things where we could possibly get some, celebrity endorsements and, they would be influencers, you'd say. And then the more people that could stream the nap, you know, it could be sort of like, oh, you know, like we napped at the same time and, you know, I feel luxurious now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the name of the website is bad, and then it's just bad nap, but it's like the A word's in the middle of it. I won't say it.
No, I got you. Just say it. Say it.
Okay, badass naps.
Wait, that's the word you were going to say?
I'm kidding.
So you go, your company's called Badass Naps.
Yeah.
These aren't your daddy's naps. Right?
Absolutely, yeah. We have a mask.
Right. Get that kind of guitar playing going.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hammer-ons is what they call that. Get Eddie Van Halen. He stinks. That Van Halen playing always sucked. Everybody knows it. Van Halen blows. Anybody who tries to pass them off is, it's not a good thing. Sorry.
Yeah.
There was always a better band than them. No matter, anybody thinks they're the best, it's like, God bless you if you think they're the best. There was always a better band than them.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree.
Their albums were 25 minutes long. They always had some dumb covers on them. And then you had to deal with his malarkey of the whole Louis Prima fixation.
Oh yeah, you go from what was it? Who's the lead singer? Then it goes to Sammy.
Who's the lead singer? You know the lead singer of Van Halen. Come on.
It's with me for a second.
Hang up on this guy. Hang up on him. You're out. You know, walk the walk. You got to talk the talk, my friend. Guy calls up, starts talking about Eddie Van Halen. Doesn't even know the lead singer of the band. Oh, wait. I talked about them. He didn't mention them once. I did. I literally did 100% of the bringing up of Van Halen. Welcome to the best show. Final call.
Hello, Tom.
Oh, my goodness. Look at this. This is like bottom of the ninth. Tie game. And this is who walks out. You might as well head to your bleeping car because this game's over. When this guy steps up to the plate, Jason from Huntsville, Alabama. This guy steps up. You might head to the park. You might as well get to the parking lot, try to get that ball when he knocks it out of the stadium. That's what I says. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
What if it was a guy or a girl, ladies can do pranks these days too, of just a recording of you going, hello, Tom. And then I did this 5-minute soliloquy. It's not even you.
And I could also be doing research for a character for a film I'm going to make.
You could. You could safety me.
It'd be like a long game.
Here are my billion-dollar ideas. You ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Number one, Oh Hello Fresh, the too much tuna thing.
$10.
Another idea. Are you tired? You know when you got a bar of soap, right? What always happens to a bar of soap, Jason, from Alabama, from Huntsville?
It becomes tiny and useless.
Yeah, well, guess what? You take all those slivers, you put it into this one heated bar of soap-shaped case, you melt it into a new bar of soap. You tell me that wouldn't be the greatest thing you ever saw in your life. All those slivers add up to a new bar of soap.
That's hundreds of bars of soap over your lifetime.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Tell me that's the big idea. And then the other idea?
Flavor.
What was the other idea I had?
I'm sorry.
Well, what did you say that made me think of my other idea? We said...
Safties.
Safty. Oh, yeah. Get this.
Oh, yeah.
Safety dance. Set to the tune of Safety Dance by Men Without Hats. Right? My novelty record. Safety dance. The Safety Dance. It's a safety dance. We can dance if you wanna. We could give poor LSD into the mouth of a security guard who's just trying to look after the amusement park, stop anyone from breaking in. Cause if your friends don't dance, and if you don't dance, well, the other no friends of mine, right? We can dance if you wanna. Or it's Daddy Long Legs walking down the street doing a handstand, even though I don't think that's actually him doing it. They're shooting it way too tight. It's got to be someone else. When they pull out wide, it's not exactly Hunter. They would have shot it wide if he could have done that handstand. The Safety Dance, right? It's a Safety Dance. Those are my three ideas.
And you just recorded it.
I just did. And then this whole thing, you know what's driving me nuts?
What's that?
What's up with the Pope-a-verse, right? And all these things. Two popes. Young pope. New pope. Who asked for all this pope fiction? You know what I mean? Really got to throw, I got to, why is everybody the pope all of a sudden? Because this is my big idea.
Mm-hmm.
There's that movie, Two Popes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Three popes. That's my big idea. Three popes. Right?
I'm thinking you're just going to start a pope race.
What if it's this? What if it's three popes? And it's the Pope Avengers. Right? All the popes from all the pope movies team up to fight Thanos. Right? And he's like, half of the popes. There's too many popes on this planet. I'm going to banish half of the popes. Right? And then suddenly it's like, it starts happening, like, it's like, Pope John Paul II, I don't feel very good. Right?
Mm-hmm.
What was that one pope? Ratzenman, right? What was his name again?
Benedict XVI.
Jonathan Ratzberger? That's the Cliff the Mailman.
Cheers.
I think it was Ratzinger.
Ratzinger. Joseph Ratzinger.
Yeah.
He's the one from the Bob Dylan song. Joseph Ratzinger, out 44 years. I mean, this one pope, he threw that thing at Hattie Carroll. Yeah. This guy's pope? He's throwing, whipping his cane around? The Pope Avengers is the big idea. Jude Law, Malkovich, Jonathan Price, Hopkins. All in one, all your popes in one place. Fighting crime. What if they're just fighting like low level crime, right? counterfeiting rings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they just hear that somebody's doing like, somebody sound like bootleg, like they're selling like fake tickets to shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like they try to infiltrate the ring to see who's been selling these fake Katy Perry tickets. I think it's a hit.
Yeah.
So go, Jason, what did you call about?
I think it has wide demographic appeal.
Thank you. Pope.
Yeah.
The Pope Vengers.
Pope Vengers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I had a business idea, but now I don't
but
know.
But it goes like this. You're going to, you're going to host my fist in your face. Right. Is that offensive?
There's a lot of stuff. Well, it could be. You might run that by the League of Decency.
Yeah. The League of Decency. Well, that's another superhero group I'm forming.
Yeah. How about that'll be the DC. That's the DC
version. The DC version would be the League of Decency.
Justice League of Decency.
Yeah. Remember when they always had that cartoon when it was Justice League and like Ted Knight did the voice on it. Remember that? Like he was like the announcer. And it would always be like, meanwhile, back at headquarters, Superman had a plan. And then it would be like, meanwhile, back at headquarters, Batman had a plan. He just said the same thing over. Everyone's got a plan. Meanwhile, back at headquarters, Aquaman had a plan. Well, tell me about this business idea, please.
Okay. So it's an idea that I was in New York City last year with some friends. Mm-hmm. And they were pointing out how disarming sort of like a southern accent and politeness can be in the city.
Yeah.
You know, people kind of, you know, they'll give you a little extra consideration. So the idea of the business, it's kind of a gray area legally, maybe.
Okay. I don't
know if that's something that Shark Tank wants to be involved in, but if so, because essentially it would be sort of like almost like an industrial espionage service. It's called Rent-A-Rube.
Listening.
Yeah, we would take
Rent-A-Rube.
Yeah, Rent-A-Rube. We take people from the South. They go through a screening process.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that they're polite, mm-hmm. and disarming, but also willing to do what we need them to do.
Yeah.
We give them free trips to the city.
Yeah.
And so you go in, for example, like you go in, let's say you want to get some files from a competitor.
Okay.
Like a broker's firm or something.
Yeah.
You just wandering off the street and you'd be like, hey y'all, excuse me. I ain't never been in a brokerage. It's my birthday and I ain't never been in a, I just want to see what y'all do here. Can I come back here and see what y'all do?
And they'd be like,
I don't know, like I'm from.
Where are you from? And they're just like, and you just say like, from Cricket Falls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Cricket Falls, yeah. Georgia.
Yeah. Whatever.
This is how I would do it if I was one of these Rent-A-Rubes, and maybe I'd have to be one to get the ball rolling. I go in to a place. Now you be the employee of this place and play it slick. You're a slick city. You're a city guy, right?
Okay. What kind of business is it?
I say I want to find out. I want to just find out your client list at a.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
I walk in. What do you say?
Can I help you?
Oh. Good heavens, I just, it sure is hot out there. Might I sit for a second and take a load off? I'm just not used to this big city heat and all of the hustle and bustle.
I guess.
Oh, well, thank you kindly.
Thank you kindly. Might I get some sweet tea? I'm a little parched.
We ain't got no sweet tea.
Then get on the floor.
maybe I went a couple steps too early.
You're out of the gun. That's not gray legally.
Yeah, that is. We are well out of the gray area of this business that I have. The employees of Rent-A-Rube are armed.
Yeah, that's just a gang.
Yeah, that is just a gang.
You've just founded a gang.
It sure is hot outside today. Hotter than a hay bale on a, right?
On a pyre.
Yeah. Well, what about this as a company for people who are like very religious farmers, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Christian Bale. Right? You with me? Anyone?
I'm almost with you. I'm almost with you.
Are you tired of these atheist or agnostic hay merchants? Here at Christian Bale, we guarantee it's that is truly the dumbest thing I've ever said out loud or thought of in my own head. That's usually one that wouldn't leave my mouth. That just happened. I guess we're lucky or unlucky that one of those ran through my head while I was in front of a microphone.
Yeah.
Usually those happen to me when I'm in a car somewhere by myself and I'm just like, well, I'm not writing that one down. That's the worst thing I've ever thought of.
Right. I think that we're lucky and you're unlucky.
I still say yes. It's like comedy and tragedy, Jason. Comedy is tragedy is when I fall down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
Comedy is when you fall down the stairs. Because I didn't mention, I'm a jerk.
Right.
That I think that's when that's comedy.
Yeah.
I'm bad. So anything else, Jason?
Oh, I don't. 2020.
Yeah.
Change is coming. It's going to be a big year. That's all I'm saying.
A change is coming.
I'm very excited about life.
Sounds like somebody's ready to throw their hat in the ring. Are you for president?
I can't say anymore. Anyway, it's so nice to talk with you, Tom.
It's great to talk to you, my friend, and I will talk to you soon.
All righty.
Have a great night.
Okay.
Bye. All right, guys, let's wrap it up. Everybody, thank you for coming out to the Bell House. I don't have anything to do with these live grown-ups three readings. They are driven and conceived of by Pat and Brett Davis, and they are doing an outstanding job, and they're doing it for charity. It's an amazing endeavor. There's a show next Tuesday at the Bootleg Theater in Los Angeles, and I think there might be tickets available at the door of the thing, but the advance tickets are sold out from what I'm being told.
Correct.
So good luck with that. But you can support the charity regardless.
Yes.
You know, and look, maybe there's a case to be made. No, I'm not going to say it. Never mind.
Tom.
Yeah, what? What?
Are we doing the best show on a different night next week?
We'll figure it out, Mike. Okay. Wait, you got somewhere to be?
Giving the listeners a heads up.
This guy's busy. Just Steve Jobs over there? You're running a Fortune 500 company? We'll figure it out, Mike. Mike,
stand by for next
Mike,
week.
Okay.
Mike, you killed it last night. I salute you. For your great performances, Shaquille O'Neal. I'm getting nothing but raves.
Yeah.
Next week, the thing with the Bootleg Theater, it should be fun. A lot of good people involved in that. Who do we want to thank, Pat? Anybody who helped with putting these things together?
Yes. Well, firstly, nakedcomedy.com for more info on the LA show.
Sam Varela has been doing an amazing job helping us coordinate that. And we have some an all-star lineup to announce very soon with that show. For the Bell House, everyone at the Bell House, Carly, the house manager there, who says hello to you, Tom, who I've known forever, and it was very cool to...
She's awesome.
...to get to grace the stage there for the first time after going to shows there forever and knowing her. So everyone at Bell House, especially Carly, and Kate Sweeney, who helped us out doing kind of stage managing last night, coordinating all the people backstage, and, of course, our entire cast. We had Kevin Corrigan, Julie Klausner, Connor Ratcliffe, Mary Houlihan. We had Claire O'Kane. We had Chris Gethard, Sally Burtnick, of course, Jason Gore, AP Mike, and Ziwi Bumadu, who is amazing and hilarious writer from Deus Mero. You know her, Tom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ziwi was very, very funny as Chris Rock. And of course, Frankie Cosmos, who wrote a custom theme and really, really just set the tone at the top of the show. And, it was a very, very special night. And Mindy Tucker, of course, for taking pictures.
That is so cool. Thanks, everybody. It's for a good cause. We're all doing a thing to help out. So, and I want to thank over here. I want to thank Earwolf, obviously, for helping out. I want to thank Devin in particular for being awesome as usual.
My pleasure. Thanks,
and we, we'll figure out what next week is, and we'll let you know ASAP as soon as we get it locked down. Best show back next week. Thank you. Bye.
Then I noticed, how shall I put it, some leakage in my third degrees. So I went to a clinic and was examined by a Chinese doctor. His diagnosis was non-specific urethritis. Mr. Love, he said, you're going to have to give up either women or drinking.
We belong dead.
Here's something you may not know about me. I haven't paid for a drink in over 4 years.